This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Trash to Cash Podcast, episode 121. How is it going, everyone? I'm Dave, the ADH guy. With me, as always, is Carrie, the American Arbitrage, and special guest, Mel. Better looking, better sounding, better everything than Kevin, but she is wearing the Commonwealth Picker shirt, so it's all good in the neighborhood. Carrie's like a little dead inside, but I literally told him this was going to happen. I said it like six times in the last week. Okay, so the Super Bowl just ended 10 seconds ago. 10 seconds ago, and Carrie was rooting for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, Taylor's team's going to win because they want
Taylor's fans to come back. I thought Taylor Swift was going
to
score the winning touchdown. I thought they were going to put her in.
Dude, they want her fans to come back next year.
Was she even there? I couldn't tell if she was there.
She was there with Ice Spice. She was there with Ice Spice, who is, my kids were telling me, is some sort of famous singer. I don't know, with Cardi B or something.
There we go.
And they're shaking their butts, I guarantee it. So, Carrie, are you sad? Like, are you a little dead inside?
No, I like that we just went right into the podcast. No, it's helping me numb the pain.
Good, dude. Come on, you knew it.
This was my my first official sports bet. I'm never gonna financially recover from this. I bet $100.
Yeah, and now you lost it. And
I lost it all.
You lost it all. Listen, Carrie, you don't ever bet against Swift. You just don't do it.
That was such a dumb move.
That was really dumb. Yeah. Yeah, you should have bet on – I bet there was some casino out there. You're in Vegas. There's some casino that was doing some sort of, like, odds of how many times they show Taylor.
No, and it was 4.5 was the over-under. I saw it on Instagram. It was, like, 4.5 – it was, like, 5 times in the first 6 minutes.
Yeah.
It would have been easy money.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. That's the bet I would have taken.
I feel like we're being rude to Mel. Mel's
no, well,
here.
Me and Mel have
all
been
the
talking
way from Australia.
Listen, me and Mel have been talking for 30 minutes while you've been watching sports ball. So Mel and I are just chatting along. Yeah. Anyways, how you doing, Mel? Welcome to the podcast.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Don't worry. If you say anything offensive to Kevin, we can cut it out, but we won't. So just remember.
I knew Kevin wasn't here, so I was like, well, I really had to toss up whether or not, you know, I wore my Back from Burnout t-shirt, if I supported
You got to support Kevin. If you had a Titleist hat with some glasses on it, too, that'd be also good. And maybe if you had, what are they called, hair plugs? And
hair plugs.
Yeah.
You know, hair dye.
Really look like him, yeah.
And a fanny pack.
Yes.
Now, if you guys don't know Mel, her YouTube channel is Back from Burnout. It's the number 2 YouTube channel in Australia after Disgruntled Octopus.
Yes.
But, you know, she's trying to catch him. She's trying to catch him.
Ozzy's right phone.
Now, the key would be you need to put on, like, some sort of fish mask or something
that is,
like that.
That's the thing in Australia, right? You have to have, like, some sort of mask and do a podcast that, like, dozens
right.
of people watch.
It's the only way to be transparent. And stuff.
Yes. If you want to be transparent, you have to wear an octopus mask.
You have to disguise your identity.
Speaking 100%. Of transparency, let's get right into all the drama so I can put Daily Refinement's name in the title. You left his group. You're now in Tekken Sports Group.
You're such
and Tekken,
a jerk.
Which group's better? That's all I want to know is which group's better.
Which group is better?
It's basically the same group. Tech's group is basically what the old Daily Refinement one.
So what is the Daily Refinement
Nothing
group
really
now?
Changed.
So what is the Daily Refinement group? Is it
different?
It's different.
The only thing that's different is Chris is not there, and
Chris Daily Refinement.
So Chris Daily Refinement used to do the morning calls, and now Tech does a morning call. So. But the actual group has pretty much stayed, like, it's the same.
Well, but so my question is, what is Chris's group now? Is it completely
She's not
different?
In it, though. She does,
you don't know?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm still a member of both groups and everything, but it's really kind of, I feel like it's a bit of a, conflict of interest to kind of be in both while I'm
doing
some, because I'm like, I host a couple of the Zooms in the call and everything, and I don't want to be distracted by one group and what's in the other group.
I was just curious if it's like vastly different or if it's pretty much the same, just different people.
I'm not sure. I think most of the original group are over now in text group. Some of them stayed on and did both for a while. I think there's a lot of new people in Chris's group. And some people did stay in there, and I think some people have done both. But
do you have any suggestions for us to try to get our Patreon up to like 40, 50 grand a
month? Do we have to start teaching people lingering
at $900, and we really would like to accelerate our growth.
the only tip I've got is you've just got to
add some sort of value.
should we start teaching about a place where we aren't allowed to sell, maybe, and teach about how you should sell on it? Would that be a good play, maybe?
You could teach about all the things that you shouldn't be
doing. We're making you so uncomfortable.
We like to, Mel, right when we start off a call, we want to make them as, you know, the guest as uncomfortable as possible. And so I feel like we've done a pretty good job so far. Yeah. We can now move on to the main topic that you're interested in, ASMR. She's a big ASMR fan. It's all she watches, all she listens to. If you watch her latest video, it is literally, how long is it? It's literally just noises of packing orders, right?
She's 30 minutes of me packing an order.
Kangaroos in the background.
Carrie, she has unlocked the key to free money. She literally just turns on the camera and packs orders and doesn't fart for 30 minutes and she gets money. She just has to hold the farts for 30 minutes. We could do it. I can't do that.
I can't hold them for 30 minutes.
I will say I didn't make much money from that video because I deliberately didn't put any ads in the middle of it because I figured like ASMR should be kind of relaxing and not interrupted.
Okay.
So I didn't put any ads inside that video because I was very mindful and
you were trying to be an artist there. Always take the money. Always take the money. Don't worry about the art. Just put the ads in.
Yes.
I was mindful of my viewers.
Mel, if you focus on the money, you can own a BMW i8 and live
Epsilon
in Florida like Rockstar. Rockstar the Flipper. No, so Mel, you do great content. Great content, guys. If you haven't seen Mel, back from burnout on YouTube, you might be able to tell from her voice, she is not a United States resident. Do you want to talk about where you live? Which it blew my mind. I think you live in the capital of Australia. Is that true?
I do. I
wanted to ask Carrie what the capital was. He was going to say Sydney.
I knew it wasn't Sydney though.
I thought it was Sydney. What did you think it was?
Canberra? How do you say it?
Canberra.
Canberra.
Cadbury eggs. Cadbury eggs. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Canberra. Yeah.
But that's near Sydney. Yes.
Yeah, about three and a half hours.
Oh, okay. That's not that near.
Well, I feel like everything in Australia is like far away from each other though, right? Like, there's a lot of distance. And you can't, like, drive through the middle of Australia, right? There's not much there other than, like, the outback, right? There's just steakhouses every 20 miles, and that's it.
Something like that.
Dude, I went to Outback. I actually went to Outback with my wife the other day on, like, a little day date. And I was like, oh, man. I remember when Paul brought Mel here, she must have really felt at home. She must have really felt at home. I felt like I literally just stepped into Australia. It was amazing.
Did you order the blooming onion?
Of course.
The blooming onion.
Oh,
yes.
My
yes.
goodness.
Yeah.
I think I didn't stop laughing when they brought out that onion. I was like, do they really think that Australians have onions this size?
Like, do they not? So tell me, like, your
There's
Outback
snakes in
experience.
The toilet. I know that much about Australia.
Mel
There's
went to Outback.
And, toilets.
And I know you've talked about it a little bit, but you never talked about it on our show. Tell us, like, how close is it to Australia life in the Outback Steakhouse?
Well, I would say that the beer sizing was correct.
The beer sizing, okay.
We had a good size beer. Australians like their beers. Mm-hmm. The menu, it was funny. Like, it just made me laugh the whole time. So, but the blooming onion was the best. But it was delicious.
Oh, yeah, it is delicious. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you come visit Florida, we have an Outback right in my neighborhood. So
we're coming. Next time I'm coming to stay with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go to Texas Roadhouse and just pretend it's Outback Steakhouse.
Actually, I prefer Texas Roadhouse personally.
Because they dance. Texas Roadhouse. And then they do the dance.
You used to work there. Did you dance?
No, I worked at Olive Garden and I did dance, but that wasn't part of my job. It was just a little extra to get tips.
And did it work?
No. I remember I quit pretty quickly.
Yeah. Quit.
I was not
fired. Quit.
Involuntarily fired. Quit.
So, Carrie, I mean, they definitely. Now, tell us just really quick, me and Mel, because we don't want to spend money on Paramount Plus. Like, what happened in the last 10 seconds that made Taylor's people win? Like, what happened?
A touchdown.
But, like, so how? Did you know it was coming, or was it like an interception?
No, like,
Dawn.
You knew it was close because Dawn was getting into it, saying, guys, like, she'd followed the 49ers her whole life. She just barely started paying attention 12 minutes ago. But my stepson, her son, is like a diehard 49ers fan. He hasn't texted me yet, so he's probably crying. I told him he owed me money if I didn't cover my bet.
Oh,
so,
man.
It was pretty insane. It was a great game, though. Objectively, as someone who doesn't really care about either team, as far as American football is concerned, it was a really, really, really good game. One of the better ones in a long time. Because it was entertaining. It was exciting. Yeah. You didn't know what was going
to
happen.
I'm a little confused that you're at your house because you told me you were watching it at the casino.
I did. I went to the casino, but there was no seats. It was just too packed.
So you just came home to watch it.
Exactly. Oh, okay. And apparently we had Paramount Plus. I wasn't sure we even had that. So we did, and so we're watching the game.
Okay, cool.
American football, it's like Aussie rule football, but they're wearing helmets and stuff. I think Aussie rule football, they don't wear anything. They just break bones and stuff.
It
seems dangerous. You're much tougher.
I did hear, though, that in the American football game, the gridiron, there's only actually like 12 minutes of actual football that happens within that whole time period of that game.
That's probably, I mean, there's 12-minute quarters, I think it is. But the problem is there's so much clock running, it probably is actually 12 actual minutes, if that, of actual movement. Whereas, Aussie rule football, they're always moving. They're always moving.
Can you tell me, is Aussie world football, is it different?
Rules football. Aussie world is a different
thing. I thought you said Aussie world. I'm like, what is this? It sounds fun. I'm in.
Football.
Oh, Aussie rules. Okay. And it's like rugby. It's different. It's just like our football.
It's kind of like rugby, right? Similar.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say. I don't really watch the Aussie rules. That's more the people who live in Melbourne are really big into the Aussie rules. Where I am, we're more into the rugby league, which is a little bit tougher.
How does that compare to my favorite, the XFL? The greatest.
The XFL.
Do you remember the XFL?
That might be too obscure. It's just like the NFL, but like run by the WWF Wrestling Corporation.
Is it still a thing?
Yeah, it's still around, actually.
Oh, really?
They brought it back and forth like several times in the last 20 years.
I feel like I saw a movie where some guy like got relegated to the XFL and then he finally got a chance back in the NFL because he was doing so good in the XFL. Isn't there a sports movie about that or something?
There's one about Kurt Warner, but he was in a different league, arena football.
I think that's what I'm talking about.
That's Kurt Warner, and he was bagging groceries, and then he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what was the name of that movie, though?
It's called The Kurt Warner Story, football stuff.
I wouldn't have watched it if it was called that. somehow I got tricked into watching it. There's no way
it was called
An
American
that.
Tale, Fievel Goes West.
Yeah, I love that movie. So, Mel, it is midday for you. That's nice. Carrie's got me doing a podcast at 11,
like 11
past my nighty-night time. but, no, I think you've done some reselling today, yes? Have you done any work?
Bit. Yeah, I had a really big weekend where I had a three-day book fair. So for 3 days, just solidly.
Do you know what?
I think I saw
your back in one of my favorite resellers' videos at that book fair.
I don't know, but I know that I woke up very sore this morning, packed a few orders, and then came home to do the podcast.
What, you're sore from carrying the books or from walking around?
Yeah, both. On your feet for 3 days. Also, like when you're shopping at a book fair, all the books are like on the trestle tables, so your head is down the whole time and your neck is cricked while you're looking at the spines of the books to read them. So end up with like a really, really sore neck, but just on your feet. And we just bought four tons of books over the weekend.
I feel like last time I talked to you, you told me, because I was telling you I was watching where you bought like a shipping container full of books, or you got it for cheap or something. And you said, I'm never going to get that many books again. And now you're telling me you got 4 tons of books. So what happened? Where's the breakdown?
This is different because it's like a whole truck full of books that's been cherry picked basically over the 3 days. So, you know, when I do those dirty container type hauls, you don't know what you're getting and there's a lot of stuff that you have to waste.
Spiders,
but
rattlesnakes.
Doing the book fairs, everything is cherry picked. We choose it all. there's no cleaning, there's no de-stickering. Like, it's actually like you just basically bring it in, photo, list it, and get some. I'll be able to increase my income quite a lot over the next couple months with all that new inventory. Yeah.
Well, when Mel was here, actually, the video with you just came out on Kevin's channel like yesterday. Did you see that? Remember we did that little private pic at that lady's house in Virginia?
Yeah.
He literally just released that video like yesterday.
Well, he's faster than me because I've still got so much American footage that hasn't been released.
Well, that was like 7 months ago, and I'm just like, man, that footage. Well, I actually never released that footage because I thought it was boring. Somehow it's not too boring for his channel. You know, it sounds about right.
He's made it fun.
Yeah, I
can't even remember the footage that I've got. And there was a lot of footage that was kind of a bit jumbled, so it made it hard to put it together. Mm. So I don't know what I've got, but I do want to go back and try. I've got some good vlogs, I think, still with Fitwell.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they're not good,
do,
but
yeah.
I've definitely got a few with Philly Flipper that still need
Flirter,
to come out.
Philly Flirter.
Yes.
Philly Flirter, still a thing that, over here in the U.S.
That nickname has stuck, has it?
It has.
People say it
all the time in my comments and stuff. Philly Flirter. It's such a good name. It's perfect.
It is.
Actually, we need some artwork, Philly Flirter. You know, and the flirter has to be a PH. I'm just saying. It's actually required.
I felt like that was implied.
Mm-hmm.
Any F sound dealing with him is PH.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's the way Philly actually is, but.
It could
Flipper.
Just
be an
F.
He did Flipper
and it
with a
be
P,
phonetically
so
the
it's
same.
His fault.
It definitely came out at the right time, exactly when
he
was in his prime.
He was in his prime, flirtatious. Yeah. Hey, okay, so I have a question. You know, now that we're just talking about Paul, the rest of the show is gonna be about Paul. We'll finally get him to listen.
Paul, yeah,
he shaved his beard. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so I remember I went to mainland China, and there was this lady who was like taking me around. She's like, "You'd be so handsome if you shaved your beard." Over here on this side of the world, we don't like beards. So is Australia like that? Is it like beards are frowned upon in Australia? Now, I know China is different than Australia, but it's that side of the world. It's not like that in Australia. They like beards.
No, we like beards. So, he definitely looks quite different, and he definitely looks younger. But I just can't believe how, since I've been there, like how he's dramatically just changed.
Well, because
like,
he puts in our
so much weight.
Mel, he puts in our Patreon every week. How great does Philly Flipper look this week?
Yeah,
like
he
every
really
week.
Fishes for compliments
he
on our
really
just
wants
everywhere
us to compliment
Instagram.
Him.
Like sometimes he sends an instant message and just like a picture and just says what his weight is, and I'm supposed to say something nice.
Yeah,
I do because you
say
know,
it because you feel like you have to.
Yeah, I feel like
you don't believe the nice thing you're saying. It's
no, I he's lost weight. Does he look good? I mean, that's but he's lost weight and congrats. No, he does look better.
He just looks great bigger. You know, that's all Carrie's saying. Paul,
he's
you look too. Beautiful, buddy. You look
you
beautiful.
Do, and you're
you know,
17
Mel,
feet tall.
We did have some people send some questions for you. Did you know that?
Okay.
Yeah, we surveyed the
masses.
These
are going to be serious business questions, Mel.
Yes, okay.
Ready. This is like the tech and sport podcast, but...
Oh, yeah. I've been nervous because I was like, when I come on this podcast, I never know what I'm going to get on this podcast.
No. Have you listened to our podcast? You've listened to it, right? Have you become like a mega fan since we hung out this summer?
I like to listen to the podcast while I'm doing my photography and stuff.
You notice, guys, that she skirted the mega fan question.
No, she does listen, though, so that
she
matters.
Listens reluctantly.
Mega fan.
Okay, there you go. I mean, that's a mega fan of Kevin. Everyone's one of those.
Yeah.
That's not really
I ask people at the supermarket if they know Kevin, and a lot of people do.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, we know him.
Like, I've got a restraining order. I heard that once.
My ADH Dave t-shirt. I didn't get one.
Yeah. Oh, well,
it didn't last
that. I've actually never made one.
You have the old MC Picker
one,
which was elaborate and weird.
It was
a weird texture to it as well.
You know, it was funny, though. Like, so, you know, me and my wife finally have a couple who's kind of our friends here, which is a weird thing. Like a local couple that we're friends with. And, you know, the guy is a much older
Is it like Kevin and his local couple friend, like the swinging
thing? No, it's not like a swinging
thing.
Okay. It's not like it's the daughters are in gymnastics together. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe it could turn into that. We'll see, you know, see how it goes. But no, I'm trying. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to learn from Kevin. But no, the thing is, the guy is like, his wife asked me, she's like, "Do you feel like you're hanging out with like an elderly man?" Because he's like 53, and I'm like, no, one of my closest friends is much older, this guy named Kevin, the Commonwealth Picker, so don't even worry about it. So it's good Kevin's really let me fit into the elderly crowd, you know.
What are we going to do for his 60th birthday? We haven't even discussed it yet.
Well, and where is he? Mel, where is Kevin? Why is Kevin?
Where is Kevin? Yeah, why is he not here? It's a good question.
I don't know, but I thought Kevin was younger than me. Just watch.
Mel, listen.
This is a game.
Kevin, it's a game we play. Kevin,
we want people to be very confused about
how old Mel may not know. You may not know all the lore. There's a lot of specific lore around Commonwealth Picker. Number one, he's very wealthy. Super wealthy.
Super wealthy.
Number two, that wealth allows him to eat other people's youth. Somehow he sucks it out of their blood. Yeah, so he's actually 130.
That's a deep cut. That is a deep cut. But yes, that is true.
Number three, he swings. It's a romantic thing, him and his wife. It's a hobby. Number four, he kills dogs. It's just a thing. We don't want him to do it, but he does it.
We've asked him to stop. It's not good for the podcast.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just the stuff you need to know. We should just fill people in before they even come on the show. Like, you need to know
any guests. Here's a list. We're going to talk about Kevin, and this is what he does.
Did you already know? How many of those did you know already? How big of a super fan is she? None? You knew none of those things?
Oh, yeah, I knew all of them.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate it. And what is
Carrie's
drink
of choice? I feel like Mel has
questions
that she might be more comfortable answering than this.
Oh, fine. Okay. Thrift shops in Australia versus America, NC Thrifting asks. Prices, stock, etc. Go.
Go. I think the shops are bigger in America. And They're definitely bigger. Pricing, I would say probably fairly similar or maybe a little bit cheaper in America. But
dude, Mel, tell the truth. You only go to the book rack.
Yes.
You did not look at any other pricing. I was with you. You just went to the book rack.
No, so, occasionally I look. I bought a pair of cowboy boots, remember, at one of the
shops. That's right, you did.
To.
But that was for personal usage, and you're still wearing them today.
True. Yes.
Yeah. The question, though, Mel, is the smell. Do the American ones smell worse? Because they smell terrible here. They smell like a poopy diaper.
I didn't notice the smell. So maybe they smell
the must
same.
Be similar. Yeah, it must be similar. Yeah.
I feel like Florida and Australia would be somewhat similar, like thrift stores. Like they'd have kind of like a sweaty alligator kind of vibe too. Because I imagine there's crocodiles and alligators in both places.
I thought specifically the U.S.
running
ones,
wild.
They've just all had Carrie in them, and he adds like a specific aroma every time.
It is an aroma. A
thrift shop.
I think the biggest difference is you guys have got a lot more thrift shops than what we've got.
Okay.
Like you've got many, many more. You've got those Amazon return places that we
do. You have those?
No.
Not at all. Well, no. Yeah, but there's an Amazon in Australia, right?
Yeah.
But
yes,
it's not really used, or it is?
It's not. Amazon in Australia isn't the same as what it is in America. Definitely not. So,
do you have a website like that, an e-commerce website where you can get things tomorrow, basically pretty much anything under the sun?
You can pay an Amazon subscription so you'll get it cheaper faster. But okay. I don't think it still comes as fast as what you get it in America. No way.
So with books, you're selling them primarily on eBay, correct?
Only on eBay.
Yeah. Only on eBay. Are you doing like the model where you're selling just anything and you're selling it super low, or are you lotting stuff up? Are you looking for first editions? Like I probably should know this. I've seen videos of yours in the past, but like, what's the game plan when you get a book? Or is there stuff you're not doing anything with? You're getting rid of or redonating or?
Oh yeah. When I pick up the freeholds and stuff, there's definitely stuff that I get rid of. I don't want to put it into the store if it's not going to kind of make a certain dollar point, but there are things that I'll bundle up definitely. So individual books or bundling books. The bundling is good because it gets your ASP up and you can make some really good money off the bundles. So you've just got to make sure you're not paying too much per book. Like if you've got six books, you don't want to be paying $3 a book to bundle it up to only sell it for like $30 or $40.
So you said there's a price point like you want to be over. What is that? What price?
So I look at if I sell something for $25 on eBay, then I make a $10 profit. Mm-hmm. So I'm really trying not to get less than a $10 profit. However, there are some books that have their lower profit, but their fast sell through rate. So if they're a fast sell through rate and I know that they're going to sell quickly, I'll still put them in the store if they're a lower
price. So the $10 profit thing makes sense. But you said if you sell it for $25, you're going to get a $10 profit. Does that mean all your books you buy for $15? Or am I missing something?
No, that's included because I include postage. So I do all mine is free postage. So if I sell something for $25, that's including postage. So I got to pay my postage out of that, my eBay fees, my cost of goods.
So your take home is going to be $10 on a $25 sale, and you may be paid a buck for the book or something.
Yeah.
So what? So how expensive is it to ship in Australia? I think it would be moderately cheap, no?
No. I work mine out on an average. So my average shipping cost at the moment is $9.38 per item.
Wow.
So see, you guys don't have mail.
You don't have a discounted book shipping rate. Wow.
Have you heard of that though? I'm sure you have in the groups and stuff, right? The medium mail, it's like $3 to ship a big 1 pound book, right? It's super cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. It's expensive here. $9.38 is my average.
What we don't usually do like questionnaire podcasts, but living in Australia, there's a lot of interesting things you can tell us. So I'm sorry if I'm asking more questions, but like,
no, that's fine.
What made you do books? Is that like because that's what's most available in Australia easily or?
It was COVID.
Okay.
So
yeah, that
COVID,
caused me to buy books too.
Yeah, because before COVID, I was clothing and shoe seller.
I literally
Harry
can't
still
read.
Doesn't read. He doesn't know how. But sorry, go ahead, Mel. Yeah. We interrupted on the show.
Like, I sold clothing and shoes, and I had like a small, I had about 500 books in my store. I don't know. Maybe I had a 3,000 item store. Maybe 500 of them were books, but I was primarily clothes and shoes. And then COVID hit, and it was struggling. The shops were shut, and I was struggling to get out there and get the clothes. Mm-hmm. So I did some Facebook market call outs asking for if anyone had any books, and just said I'd pick them up, contactless pickup on the doorstep. And yeah, I just was inundated with books. Then I just was listing so many books, and I just suddenly became a full-time bookseller. My whole house was just full of all these free books, and I realized that they're a lot easier than doing clothing. So much easier to photograph. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying books are easy, because a lot of people get the impression that, I'll just do books or media because it's so much easier. Like, books is a laborious job, and it's a real grind, and there's a lot of heavy work, and you have to do volume because a lot of the books are lower profit. You have to do a lot of volume to make that money. So it's not an easy job doing books, and people will think it's the easy option out, but it's definitely easier to photograph a book than do clothing and have to measure it. You get less returns with books because...
Well, that's, a book's a book. The thing I've always struggled with books is, like, every book I look up is worth, like, $6, $8. Like, there's
just
so few good ones.
It reminds me of when people approach me about sports cards and want to get into sports cards, because it is one of the biggest niches on eBay. But the problem is, you have to go through a lot of sports cards or know a lot to find the ones that are valuable. And I imagine with books, having done some books in the past, you're going through a lot. And you get an eye on certain things that could be... That'll save you some time, but you got to go through. I don't know if you're scanning for eBay, but you got to really go through a lot of stuff to find the profitable ones, I imagine.
Yeah. And it's really only now, after a few years of doing it full time, that I really feel like I'm a pretty strong picker now. Like, I can go out, and there's a lot of books that I know by my eye because I'm so familiar with having sold them before or what's sold. So,
I feel like I know not to pick up Danielle Steele books anymore. I've got about 300 of them, and I'm just
Terry Goodkind, probably not.
Yeah, John Grisham, lots of those.
No, they are actually okay, but they sell better.
eBay for Idiots, that would help me, but it doesn't sell.
But no, Mel, listen, I went with you, and you recommended some books, and every book you recommended is worth like nothing in the U.S. So it's
really?
I think books have higher value in Australia. I really do. Because,
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the platforms that you've got. We've got the one platform, really, to buy secondhand books off. You can buy them off Amazon, but it's not the same as buying them off eBay. Amazon hasn't taken off in Australia.
Yeah.
I never order from Amazon here in Australia. Wow. Never, ever. So it's just not a platform that we really utilize very much yet. And it's only in the last couple of years that they've even allowed secondhand books on the platform. They were trialing it for a while. And
that's interesting. That's what would have happened in the U.S., I guess, if Amazon never came about. It would have been eBay and Half.com or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't Amazon buy Half.com?
They did,
Still do most of my shopping on Walmart because, Amazon... Their prices are crazy.
Wherever Ask Jeeves takes me, that's where I go.
People have stopped checking at this point. Yeah, I went to go buy some, what's it called, Barkeeper's Friend? Because everyone's complaining about the rust on my grill in my cooking videos. A bunch of beans.
Yeah, I was
upset. Oh, you're
going
to die from the rust. La, 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 la. Okay, anyways, I eat rust for breakfast. Anyways, I was looking for Barkeeper's Friends. It was like $18 on Amazon and $2 on Walmart. So I don't know. People don't even check anymore, Mel. because they're just like, oh, I'm just going to Amazon and I'm buying it. They don't even think about it. And this is how like people like Phoenix Resale make all their money.
Yeah, right?
He like sells games for like three times.
Heck and Steve, by the way,
I learned a lot
right
from
about
Heck
Phoenix. Completely right.
Listen, he's not. He's right about American Arbitrage. I don't know if you saw his hate.
No,
video
yeah, no, he's also right about that dude.
Yeah, Butthole McGee, is that your nickname now, Carrie?
Yes,
something like that, yeah.
Officially coined, I've trademarked it.
Mel, did you not see, did you not know that Carrie is the back out coin guy? Have you seen
this? Yeah, it's a big deal. It's sweeping a very niche part of the nation.
Yeah, Carrie like went to the flea market with me. He tells the guy, oh, I will give you money for these coins. They very clearly decided which coins they were.
It was not clear.
Carrie gives him the money, and the guy's like, why are you taking all my coins? Because Carrie's like starts just taking everything off the table. Carrie's clearing the table after a well agreed upon section of the table should have been his. And then Carrie's like, if you don't give it all to me, not only will I punch you in the testicles, I'll also take my money back. And the guy finally gave in and was crying, and Carrie just laughed and made a TikTok about it. Did I get that right?
That's like 95% correct.
Yeah, that's what happened. So he's really a bad person. Welcome to the show with the bad person.
You must be really challenging Dawn. Yes. I mean, she gets so many comments, like with hating on her as a
No, Dawn gets them a lot too. I mean, the thing is, if you get any kind of like watch time on TikTok, especially like if you get anything that blows up there a little bit, just people just want to be mean. Because it gets outside of our niche. There's a lot of people, like the first layer of people on TikTok that see your videos, or even on YouTube or anywhere, is typically your followers, people who understand what you're doing. But if anything goes viral, it goes outside of our little community, and it goes into the place where I guess everybody hates resellers in real life, I guess.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Carrie asked, do you scan books? Like, I've seen you. It didn't feel like you scan every book. You just know what to grab. You called yourself a good peeker, I believe is how you pronounced it, right?
I think I'm a good peeker now.
Yeah.
Okay, so like you guys have the scanning stuff because it all goes through the Amazon websites basically and it pulls all the data from that, whereas we don't have any of that data really to pull from. So we can scan just like you can within the eBay app.
Yeah.
But the problem with doing that is it only will pull up the information if somebody has put the barcode into their listing.
Yeah.
So I find it's not very accurate. It's like, you know, probably 30% of people have got the barcode in there and the rest of them haven't even used it. So there's quite a lot of differences if you're trying to comp something and you're using the scanner than if you just type it in manually. So I've pretty much always just typed the books into manually into the eBay to get like the result of what sold, and that's how I've learned. So I think doing that has also made me a better picker because I have to manually look everything up. I can't just rely on the scanner. So the problem is a lot of the Americans, they go along with the scanner. They just go to the bookshelf and scan, and they're not actually reading the titles.
They don't even know
books.
What the title is, yeah.
No.
I've seen
I've had to learn.
I've seen a lot of Americans, like, if they can't scan a title, they don't even bother. And there's a lot of stuff that if you type it in, you can find out.
Actually, I know one guy pretty famous on YouTube. If his mom can't scan it, he won't even touch it.
Yeah, he just follows his mom around filming
her.
That's his content.
He's not even willing to do any work. His mom just has to do the work, and then he steals the money from her and makes her pay for it.
Let's emphasize the allegedly on this, please, because he could be litigious.
He could be a litigious fellow. He is from Connecticut. We are litigious up there. No, okay, so I was watching Phoenix. Phoenix, Philly's on the mind. Phoenix Resale's latest video. He's back to doing the Switch hunting, and, like, I was kind of blown away by the tiny profit margins he's willing to take, and it made me – you talking about the low profit margins on books made me think about it. Like, he's like –
But aren't you used to, like, taking – what do they call that? Negative profit margins on most of your picks, Dan?
Not on purpose, though. It's because like I'm bad. It's not because like I want to be bad. It's because I just suck. But like this bear buy that I'm still way in the hole that Carrie made me buy.
Dude,
like,
it was only $400. You've sold hundreds of dollars worth of bears.
I have only sold like 340, and I spent $450. Carrie.
Yes, and you have negative. How many bears are left, Dave? Let's do some math.
At least one, and then myself. So two.
Well, yeah. But if you would correctly display that bear, it would have sold by now. That's kind of on you.
That's fair. Poorly am displaying it, No, so, but he was, like, all excited that he found a copy of Super Mario Galaxy for the Wii. You know this game. It's the one with the red case, right?
It's
Super
Mario.
For $15 plus tax. I'm just like, that's not exciting. That's not an exciting find at all. but it was exciting to him. And he's like, I'm pretty sure I can get $25 for it on Amazon.
He's
and then
making
after
the money.
All the fees, he's going to get like $9 or $8.
He's making the money off the 1UP app, dude. Not off picking, dude.
Yeah,
come on,
true.
Watch Heck and Steve, man.
I know. Yeah, Heck and Steve does teach me everything about who to hate. And Kerry, you are on my list now, young man.
I know.
Back out.
You were
coin
there,
guy.
Though. So by association, you're also evil.
I'll tell you.
I think the thing with media is you have to be volume based. Like
yeah.
you, like he's selling a lot.
He
of
is
quantity,
super volume
probably.
Based. Yes.
And yeah, this is the thing with media, whether or not it's books or games or CDs or whatever. If you're going to strictly have a media based store, there's a lot of low end stuff, and you really have to grind to do like a almost like a volume based store, and you have to have like high levels of inventory to get that volume and get those sales
and some sort of shipping discount, because in the US people are selling DVDs for like $3.99 free shipping, and I'm like, that's like how much shipping costs, so I don't even know how you're making any money. 30 cents a sale, like
they do get a big discount, like
because they're doing so much volume, like Mel said.
What
it is. So
it really comes down to the volume with media, I find.
Mel, someone asked that. If Trash to Cash, if the crew was to visit you, what are the dangers they would have to face to include... some other stupid part. But what are the dangers they'd have to face?
Dangers you
like, if you
face.
Open your door, there's, like, some sort of giant crab out there, right? That's
yeah, there's, like, there's like
off.
Giant crabs. There's, like, alligators attacked by
snakes of
constantly.
All type. Mm-hmm.
We
there's spiders that are dangerous.
Half human, half octopuses. Is that how you say that?
Crocodile Dundee's still roaming around, I've heard, right?
No,
he's got a big knife.
He died. That's Steve Irwin.
Oh.
I don't know.
No, yeah, dude. Let's not start another Bob Barker situation here. He's still alive, Dave.
All right, Mel, answer the question.
Sorry.
Well, I think you think that Australia is way more scary or something with
it
the animals
terrifying.
And stuff that it is. But, mm-hmm. like, we've got obviously you'd have to dodge the kangaroos, definitely. You know, you'd have to.
Do they punch?
Maybe.
They wear boxing.
Can you fight
gloves,
one?
Right?
Like, they would they fight you if you squared up to them? Would they fight you?
Yeah, you don't get close to the kangaroos. They'll pretty much hop away from you if you get too close anyway. But, yeah, you wouldn't go too close. They are very strong animals if they stand up and go to fight you.
How many drunk Australians have tried to get into a kangaroo pouch, like, per year?
I'm sure there's plenty.
Per year. We need some data.
The amount they drink and the pouches existing is just bad ingredients. That's all I'm saying. Like,
so, like, a kangaroo would be equivalent to, like, an American deer. Like, they're just out roaming around freely, and they're everywhere.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's
different.
So cool.
When I say they're everywhere, they're in certain locations of Australia. Like if you go to the city, there's no kangaroos jumping around.
It's
the
just
city.
Out
like,
in the,
are there,
the country.
There's like dead kangaroo bodies on the sides of all the roads from getting hit by cars and stuff, or no?
There is from like where I drive on the highway from.
Dude, if I saw a dead kangaroo on the highway, I would get out and take pictures. That'd be
for Kevin. For Kevin. For Kevin's
Kevin,
collection.
Because Kevin.
There's hundreds of them that are dead along the side of the road.
He loves that stuff.
We're
going to different animals now. Any animal. We're slowly, the key here is we're slowly going to, the end goal of all the Kevin bashing is he's going to end up a serial killer. That's kind of where we're inching up. But we can't bring him straight to that. We have to inch him up to that.
He's gonna watch this back and just be like,
what can he
well,
do? He
what
should
we're
have,
saying, guys, is if you been... see roadkill, pull over, take a pic, and send it to
yes,
Kevin.
Yes, let's start that. Send any roadkill pictures you have. DM them to Kevin, Commonwealth Picker on Instagram. DM him roadkill pictures. They don't even have to be yours. Search for some on the internet and send them to him.
Oh, I know what's going to happen now. In your Discord group, there's going to be all those memes going around with, like, dead...
Exactly.
ABC Matt, we're counting on you, buddy.
ABC Matt, this is on you.
Or Cherie. So Cherie Fallon, who lives in Australia, her husband Simon is one of our best Photoshoppers. Oh, here's what I love about him. Almost every Photoshop he makes gets blocked from the Facebook group. And I think that's how you know you're making good Photoshops. Like... Wait, should we try
what was
find
the
him?
Homer Simpson one where he was like choking out a
dog?
Yeah,
that's what
I'm like. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely not going to be approved on Facebook, by the way. But it is spot on. I thought it was Kevin. Actually, Kevin for a sec.
It's the effort, you know. I appreciate the effort. Here, you know what? Just because they can't show it on Facebook doesn't mean we can't show it on YouTube. So this is her artwork, Mel. I think you're going to be impressed. Check it out. Boom. A little artwork of Kevin with his puppy. yeah, it's good stuff.
That was terrible.
Anyway, so where we got derailed. She was talking about kangaroos being punching you, I think, and then we interrupted her. So
yeah.
What are the other
dangerous animals?
A dollar
for every time Mel was talking to us about that. Goodness gracious, we'd be rich.
Well, there's snakes, like the most deadly snakes in the world, right?
Yeah.
There's like some jellyfish that'll like eat your soul.
The toilets are go the other way, the water.
That's true, and you That's can important. Just get sucked down into them, and you end up in America if you go through them, I think.
Yeah, no, if you
Our
dig a hole directly.
They're what?
Your toilets are so full of water that you sit your bum on the seat, and then you're nearly touching the water.
Yeah, your testicles go in the water, yeah.
You feel like bum cheeks are just going to hang in the water. It's like weird.
Well, so, that's not the case in every... All toilets are different. Not all toilets are created equal here in America. I mean, some people have watery toilets.
Dave has
don't.
Like a heated seat, a bidet at one point. It was extravagant, to say the least.
Yeah, it blows
like
air on your bum. It's beautiful, yes. But so you're saying your toilets are bigger, they just have less water?
Our water sits only about this high in the bowl.
That's because of where you are, you know, with the equator and science.
You flush the water. And it comes up and goes down, but yours fills back. You flush the toilet and your toilet just fills back up.
Mel,
with water.
Can somebody
timestamp this so we can turn this into a short later?
Yeah, I think Paul's toilet was just broken. I think Paul's toilet probably was broken. It's probably super clogged. Like, if I was to pick one of my friends who has the most frequently clogged toilet,
the most likely clogged toilet would be his.
He's eating, like, latkes and stuff or whatever they eat in Ukraine. I don't know. But
he's
it causes
have, like,
diarrhea.
He's got, like, an unusually big toilet, too.
Yeah.
Like, he can't just have, like, a normal Walmart
Did he have
toilet.
A little round toilet, Mel, or an elongated toilet? Let's get
he's
into Paul's toilet.
Well, he had a normal toilet. It just, the American water is just much fuller than the Australians.
We like to do all things in excess, even the water
it
in
is,
the toilet.
It is, true.
Suck on that, rest of the world.
Normal... Yeah, America!
He definitely had a normal toilet other than that.
So,
and
okay.
It was a nice, clean bathroom.
Good.
He moved.
He moved now, though. He lives somewhere different.
Yes.
So. Okay, so Mel, what else? What other creatures could kill us there?
Well, you've definitely got the brown snake.
Carrie has
brown snakes.
Brown snakes in his toilet, actually.
Yeah.
I imported them from Australia. They're pets. Thank you.
The ones with the pointy...
There's no crocodiles near me.
Okay.
Only in the zoo. There's none near me. Like
the ones with the pointy beaks. I don't respect those.
I hate
those
the
ones
with the long, pointy
the,
nose.
Yeah, those
like
ones
the
are
wide noise.
Not even. Yeah. Thank
ones.
You.
Yeah. I think we all agree.
We don't
on that.
Have them just roaming around like you do in the side of the. When I went to America, like Tech took me to the swamplands in Florida, and we literally just got out of the car and we're going a walk on the footpath, and he's like, "Here's the swamp. There's alligators in there. Like one could be like a meter away from you, and you wouldn't even know it."
I think it's because there's a lot of meth in the water, right? And that's they're always out just like tripping.
Did you see there's like a new drug? TikTok took me down some
yes,
rabbit
I
hole.
Did.
Kevin told me about it because he does it
awesome.
With his friends. No, like there's some new drug that like zombifies people, and it's like horse tranquilizer or something. And TikTok kept showing me videos of these people like it's fentanyl mixed with something else, Xylene or something. And dude, it's creepy. Like. These people are just like they're hunched over and they like can't move or talk or anything. It's wild. It's wild. It's crazy. It's
worse
than
our biggest
meth
eBay.
Carry.
Speaking of that, what's our biggest eBay
yeah,
sell this week?
Speaking of
meth,
well,
like
no,
a good
wait.
Segue.
Before we get to that, do we actually sell on eBay? Because my eBay is dead right now. Is yours doing
what?
Good?
Mine's doing pretty good.
Mine's not great right now. It's not. It's
Dude,
worse than what it was last month.
Terrible. I had like 6 sales over the whole weekend. Mel, you must be selling so much quantity.
I have more than
your
that.
Books. You're like what 30 a day or something? How many books do you sell a day?
Yeah, sometimes trying to be up around that mark. I'm working. I mean, been increasing my 90 day look slowly. So
what's your ASP like your average sale price?
I think it's currently at around $28 or $29.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 20.
I think to be in Tekken's group, you got to be at like 30 grand a
yeah,
month.
Yeah, you're at
or
you're at risk
they will
of getting
get rid
kicked
of
out.
You.
Just saying.
They will just because if you hang when you hang out with Tech and you're just walking around hanging out, does he just point at stuff and tell you how much it's worth on eBay? Because that's
metal,
what I imagine.
That's worth $50 bucks.
Like
scrap.
A fan, $40. Does he just
soda
do that?
Cans,
that's
5 cents.
5 cents if you if you recycle them. I don't recycle.
Disney ears sell great on eBay. Yeah.
He's a freak. He can look at absolutely anything and know like the price point of what it's going to sell for. His Rolodex in his mind is unbelievable. He's constantly learning about what sells, and yeah, it's amazing.
Wow. Hey, and so is he still like the biggest seller of clothes on eBay? Is that
he's winding down now for retirement. Okay. So
he's like 37, but he's retiring. Good for him.
He's about to go on a 50-year holiday.
There we go. Wow.
He did 15 years of hard yards on eBay and reselling, and you know, worked to the highest possible level constantly that he could, and now he's about to have a 50-year holiday.
Well,
I can relate. I can afford a 30-minute holiday a day as long as I keep pushing the rest.
What's
of the day.
Name of the group, the Patreon group?
Reseller Greatness.
Reseller Greatness. Okay, so let's
do you get you get money back if you're not great though? Like if within a month you don't feel greatness, can you get your money
back? Listen, 2,100 members.
Dude, he's killing it. You guys are doing great.
Within the most popular is $35 a month. So I would also be retired if I was him.
That's
$21.08.
We'll sing a song for $35. Mel, nobody wants
it. Am I going crazy or is that $73,000 a month he's getting from Patreon? Like, is that real? And ask him for a raise if it is.
Yeah, you should get more.
You need to get a raise, Mel.
I will say that anybody who wants to learn how to grow their eBay store, that is the only group that you will need.
Well and Rockstar
Flipper. Or Trash to Cash.
And
Trash to Cash. To the level you
also,
back off, back down to reality.
Profit. Rake and profit. If you want to rake in the profits, there's options, guys. There's options.
Yeah.
They're cheaper.
Yeah, what if you want to like learn how to sell Mr. Beast Feastables? Reezy resells?
Is Reezy doing that now?
Yeah, he's buying out all the Feastables everywhere.
Really?
Okay. If you want a Feastable, you can't have it. You got it's like some
chocolate.
Mr. Beast
chocolate.
It's a regular chocolate that's here. You got the Mr. Beast
we've got
stuff?
That here. Should I be stocking up on it?
No.
Apparently he is.
He is, but I don't know.
But there's a lot of people who really wanted those, and he took them all. Mm. That's what I'm thinking.
So, so how many podcasts does he do a week on the Reseller Greatness? It's multiple, right?
Yeah. So
more
he
than
does
one.
A daily. He does a daily call that goes for like an hour or a bit over an hour, Monday to Friday, and then he does a once a week call, which has like an unlimited time frame. So it's just however long people want to ask him questions for. I think he's done podcasts. He's done Zooms that have gone for like 12 hours or something. Like he just will sit on there until there's no more questions once a week. And then there's other Zoom calls every single day, like on all the different niches and stuff that are being hosted by other people. But he's in a lot of those calls. He's in there listening and contributing and stuff as well. So
is he contractually required to mention the names of some of the resellers during each episode like we are, or are we the only idiots that put ourselves in that position? Because we have to mention and thank Biggs Collectibles.
I love these people so much though. Like,
Jake
it's
Ryder.
Money is important. That's
main
why
main
I
main
care.
Merch on eBay. Look, someone else wants us to make a song. Main
merch
man on merch. EBay.
You gotta add a .com though.
Yeah. CJ Ben's Finds, the Flipper Skipper, Lady Arbitrage, No Nose Picker, Soda City Flips, Remarkable, Brian Sampor Beal, Matt's Profit Pursuit, Harry Tornado, Traveling Shopper Diana, Superhero Headquarters, a SoCal Flipper, Vintage Sports Flips, Paul'sMerch.com. Whose merch?
Paul's merch.
ABC Matt, Des Hardy. Am I reading? No, my gosh, dude. We got a bunch of new subscribers that want to get
motivated
by you. Brian Big and Fun, New Jersey Picker, Rob Moreau. I feel like these are all the expired
ones. Is
that
Dr. Moreau?
I feel like I'm
reading.
You're
just reading everybody.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
We have to actually edit their names out. Bleep them out, though.
Bleep them all out. All the ones
who
don't pay anymore. Yeah. Well, that's your residual. Biscuit Butt, Logan Murky, Racek Resell. I probably said them all. I don't know. Who knows? There, we said it, guys. Thank you, Carrie. We have 1, 2, 3, I think 4 new members that want to get motivated by you, by the way, because
awesome.
Of the song.
I was wondering if you were going to wait till we were hanging out or if I should do it before.
Maybe we should. Mel, have you heard our songs we wrote?
I've seen some of Carrie's, yes.
Good. Okay, that's good.
High quality stuff.
I need to get my name on that list. I really need to join, don't I?
No.
Yeah, you know, it's really positive for us,
it.
Mel.
It's
super benefits.
We like your money.
I don't know about
Let's make that very clear. Your money
does
in
not
our
benefit anybody
makes
doing
us happy.
It.
Okay, so someone asked the question. They said if you had to pick just one platform to sell on. Mel, you can't even answer this one because you only sell on eBay. Which one would it be? This seems like too easy, right?
Yeah,
it's just eBay for everyone, but it's not for me. Yeah. It's not
Do
eBay
they have Bonanza in Australia?
Listen, if you tomorrow Makes told sense. Me I if you tomorrow told me I could only sell on one platform from now on, I'd pick Whatnot. I really
Whatnot's
would.
The I think Whatnot might be the smarter play. I love eBay. I really do love
or
eBay.
Or Dibdit, of course, Dibdit.com.
Well, oh yeah, that's
but
still
definitely
a thing?
Not that. It would yeah, be no. Whatnot.
Dave, Kevin's gonna kill me. That's what I'm gonna do every time. That's still a thing.
Yeah, no, it's you know, for me, like, just the speed of Whatnot and the ease and the fact that, you know, I get like 70% of eBay value makes it kind of worth it for me. Just like I can just sell so much quantity.
There's no
so
Whatnot
fast.
In Australia, correct? There's no
still
live
not.
Auction platform.
Crazy.
Like, wow. Whatnot, you listening, big Whatnot? It's time.
Dude, and you know what, Mel? Books are doing great on Whatnot right now. So when they bring
really?
Whatnot to you, like, you'd be amazed at how... I went and I did an auction of Stephen King books, and I got, like, eBay value for almost all of them.
Wow.
And it was right away. It was in an hour. I sell, like, 40 eBay Stephen King books, which is,
well,
you know,
Stephen
nice.
King is one of the most popular authors.
I've never heard of
eBay.
Him personally. Is he pretty good?
Yeah.
He did
the Berenstain Bears,
authors.
Correct?
Yes. I got a bunch of Stephen King books at the flea market the other day, too. But I always get all tripped up, like, is it first edition or first printing? And even though you've explained it to me, like, it's got to have, like, a one in there. There's also, like, first printing and first edition. That's so the one in, like, the first page, does that mean first edition or first printing?
Yeah, it normally means, like, if it's got a one in the numbers, string of numbers, it's normally that means first edition. But it'll okay. quite often say first edition, first printing.
Okay.
And yeah.
So what's the difference between first printing and first edition, Mel? Explain it like I'm five.
First
cause
edition
I am.
And first. Well, first
what's the
edition
difference?
And first. The first printing is because, let's say, Harry Potter, first edition, first printing would have been in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where she's from. So then there might be first printing in Australia or first printing in America
okay.
or whatever. So, but it will generally say that. It might say first printing Australia. And then, you know, that's not a first edition. It just means it's a first printing load that they've done within Australia. It's not the actual first
okay.
edition.
Yeah. What is, like, the most, and this is such, like, a cliche question, but I'm curious. What is the most, like, valuable book you've ever sold? Like, one book that was the biggest money?
100% the Bibles.
But, like, have you gotten, like, 400 for one, 300 for one? Like, what's, like,
yeah.
or ballpark high number?
Yeah, probably. I've probably sold a Bible for around 300 to 400.
Wow.
But definitely the Bibles can consistently. I mean, there's some lower end Bibles, but a lot of them will sell $100 plus
so
all the time.
Is it the ornate ones with all the illustrations in them that are the valuable ones?
Not necessarily. Or? Sometimes they're just small, old, vintage, leather. Always the ones with the leather book things, and they can quite often have writing and text in them and everything, family history. That doesn't really matter with the Bibles. I find that it's just, yeah, some of them are, they'll be so old and tatty looking and they'll be worth so much money.
Well, so, and I was setting you up to just point out that I'm the better bookseller since I've sold a book for $1,500. Just
well,
saying.
I've sold first edition. I've got a couple hundred out of, like, the first edition, some of the Stephen King stuff that I bought back in the day.
He's
like 200-300 on some of, like, what was the one? The Tower, the Dark Tower.
Yeah,
yes.
That
Dark
one
Tower.
Was very valuable, I remember. And
yeah.
The
yeah.
My book was a comic book, though, Mel, that was graded, so it doesn't really
count. That's not technically a book.
But no, Dark Tower, I sold one of those not for much. Is it a specific one? Is it, like, the first
one? I think several. Well, there's several in the series. I believe
yeah,
I
like
got
10,
like two something, and it was the first one, if I remember right. The
wow.
Gunsling, I forgot. It's been a while, but I got, like, I told you that before, Dave.
Yeah.
That I got, like,
I
went to a yard sale.
It,
I went to a yard sale and I got a couple cool kind of like early 80s graphic novels from this lady. She had a big box of them. A few Stephen King books. I think I grabbed one that was obviously old and seemed like a first edition. We left the garage sale, spent like $20 or something, left the garage sale, started looking them up in the car, and realized, holy crap, we got to go back and just get them all indiscriminately. And we went back and didn't spend that much more, and we got like the whole box of books, and I think we made well over $1,000 on maybe 30 books total. It was wild.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those authors. If you see a bulk lot of them, it's definitely worth getting those.
I,
yeah, even if they're not first editions, I imagine they would do really well in lots.
even like the small sized paperback ones that can be really bad condition, like you can lot those up and they'll still sell for really, really good money. So
yeah.
What is his, what's his pseudonym again? Because he writes under aliases, correct?
Stephen Koontz?
Something no, Koontz? he has a couple different names that he uses for different books. I forgot offhand. I could look.
I thought it was like Koontz.
It might be. Maybe King. Dean?
Dean Koontz? Maybe Dean Koontz? No, that's an actual person, I think.
No, I think, yeah.
I think it's Stephen Koontz. And Richard Bachman. Yeah, Richard Bachman.
Richard Bachman, that's it. Richard Bachman. But I think he also... Because there's some Richard Bachman books.
Who is Stephen Koontz?
I think that's just the name of an author.
You're right, it's a different person. They haven't sold very well for me. Yeah.
What didn't sell well for you?
The Richard Bachman ones.
Well, have you seen the one that's got, like, the two covers? One is a... The Desperado or Desperation and the other and they make the cover goes together and makes like a picture. Have you seen that one?
That's what I'm thinking of when I think of Richard Bachman.
Yeah. But it's also, I think it's a Stephen King book that you put it with. It's like a Richard Bachman book and a Stephen King book and you can put them together and it makes like a big design on the front. It's kind of cool.
So your best selling stuff, Mel, would be then it would, is it like here? Like, is it textbooks, stuff like that? Bibles, obviously, like you just said, or, like, I would imagine, like, nonfiction probably doesn't do great unless it's older or...
Oh, no, nonfiction
Or fiction, like, sorry. I always get them mixed up. You know, stories.
Yeah. Fiction I find better to bundle up. Like, you can make more money if you bundle it up into lots. And if you sell it individually, a lot of it's low end. Nonfiction is where you'll make more money from, definitely. 100%.
Well, in that dirty shipping container you were in, you had like a lot of books in like Arab or something, like a foreign language. Like, did those, Islamic. How did you even sell those?
Some of them have gone quite well. Some of them, I just sold two of those books, just came over to, I sold them to the US for $288 for two of them the other day.
Wow.
So,
you paid for shipping on that too, or they have to pay if they buy from the US?
I charge for international shipping. Yeah. So it's only.
Are you doing, because I've had trouble with this with like foreign books of any language. Like, if you don't know the language, are you using like Google image search to figure out what the book's title is?
Okay. Yeah, Google Lens will normally help you out with what language it is.
What's your estimate on your profit on that container, the dirty one, the rat poop one? Do you have an estimate?
I don't know.
Like thousands, right? It's got to be thousands.
It's made really good money, and there's still books that are on the shelf that haven't been sold, so there's still more to be made from it, but... That was a hard haul.
Wasn't that free?
It was free. Yeah. Well, free, except for nothing's really free, is it?
A lot of labor and time.
Oh, what is, I forgot your friend's name, Steve or something? It's what?
Tom. Your,
Tom, that's it. You just got him to do all the work. I watched it.
Tom and my son helped me out. So, it was a three-man job. It was a lot of work. Yeah, it was definitely hard.
Yeah. And they wouldn't let you just cherry pick. Tom, they made you take everything, or you did leave stuff behind, right?
Well, we could, like, we took a trailer. He didn't tell us when we had that haul. He didn't say, like, it was full of, like, animal feces and all that kind of stuff. Like, so there was no way that we could take some of that stuff back. It would have been.
Yeah. It would have been like Carrie's house gross at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we had it. We took a trailer with us and we.
She did. That's hurtful, Mel. That's hurtful, but
sorry,
I understand.
I just realized.
It's all
we
good.
We took a. We did take a trailer with us and we kind of filled it up with as much rubbish as we could go. And then we just left the rest of it there because we just couldn't discard it. We didn't even take gloves. We didn't realize it was going to be like that. So there was no prior warning. There was just like, I've got a container full of books. Would you like them?
It's a tougher sell if you say they're covered in animal feces. There's a lot less people that would be interested.
Did you go to the bins in the U.S.? Because it's basically the same.
Yeah, the bins are exactly like that. Like, just, you just, basically you're putting your hand in a toilet and pulling out clothing.
Human feces, cut glass, HIV needles, all the delicious treats.
There's some wild stuff.
Yeah. I got in trouble at the bins.
Why? You were filming.
Well, I was filming, and they told me to stop filming, and somebody complained about me.
Mel's just like, I don't speak English. I'm not from America.
I don't speak English.
I'm from Australia. This is interesting. Yeah. And she's just like, somebody's
I'm a pica.
At you.
I can't even do an Australian accent. I'm terrible. What's that? Every time I try to do Australian, I end up as like a Cockney British accent. Yeah. Barishy Mary, gentlemen. That's how it just always goes like that.
That does sound British.
Yeah, I can't do Australian. It's hard. It's subtle.
Brian Big and Fun, which Big Bri, as Carrie likes to call him, Brian B,
the Bri guy,
Bri guy,
Brian B and the Funky Bunch.
Where is coming from? Is this
Patreon? No, Patreon. Patreon.
No, Dave writes them and then just creates a pseudonym for him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Since Australia is over 16 hours ahead of us, can you tell me what stocks to buy on Monday? He's a comedian, Mel. He's a comedian.
I wish. I don't have any stocks, so I can't help you on anything.
I accidentally used my Enemin on my death pile piggy, and now my house is gone. Do you think the insurance company will believe me if I tell them the truth? Will I be able to get my house replaced? What do you think, Carrie?
I thought that was a question for Mel.
Any input? Yeah, Mel.
I'm pretty sure the house is gone at this point. I don't think they're going to. I think the fact that you had an Enemin and a death pile support pig. I mean, I know you want to support both Dave and Kevin. They kind of cross each other out.
I've just moved house, like not the weekend that just went, but the one before. So now I'm finally in my own space. I'm going to be able to find a little bit of a routine now. And now I'm welcome to the real world of needing to make more money off eBay. And
are you in the same town? Like how far did you move? Okay, so that's not super far or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you're going to see Taylor Swift, so you're going to make it happen. Yeah, like, she's coming right to your town. You're going to see her in 2 weeks, and you're going to probably – will you be doing something about the fact that she helped rig the Super Bowl? Because Carrie's pretty upset.
Yeah, that's a little upsetting. I wish you would talk to her about it.
Yeah.
She's coming to Sydney, so I'm going up to Sydney for the night to watch her.
Is she playing the Opera House? That seems like an appropriate place.
No, it's not at the Opera House. I haven't even looked where it is. It'll be at one of the big stadiums, but – yeah,
Tell Carrie what you're dressing as, Mel. Tell Carrie what you're dressing up as for the concert.
I'm dressing up as Kels with my Chiefs.
There we go.
Is it
Chiefs?
She's hoping Taylor gets confused. She's hoping Taylor gets confused and thinks it's really him.
I ordered I couldn't actually find an authentic Chiefs jersey because they were all sold out. So I had to buy an unauthentic fake off eBay. And,
Carrie probably sold it to you.
That's what I'm wearing.
There's a good chance it came from Vegas. There's a lot of bootleg stuff coming out of Vegas.
I'm sure somebody, if I put it on my social media, I'm sure somebody will tell me that it's unauthentic.
What are the top three issues that cause burnout?
The what?
The top how do you get three back issues from that it? Cause burnout.
And how do you get back from it?
Well, the top three issues that cause burnout. Look, I think
this is kind of vital for your channel, Mel. You might want to figure this question out.
You need to have this answer on
deck. This is something
here
that should be on your Rolodex. For you especially.
You're the only person who needs to know.
I'm still trying to get back from burnout.
She doesn't know. Well, no, so you just say whatever three things I've been doing. That's what causes burnout.
This is like it's mentally when you're mentally exhausted, I think you just end up just so burnt out. You can't think straight. You can't do anything. You're just tired and
Do you think burnout's more likely if you're like sticking to one niche of reselling and you're always just selling the same stuff like books, or you don't think it makes a difference if you're selling different things?
I think it's easier if you're niche down. Like if you're niched on for somebody who's, I think I'm probably got ADHD as well, except I'm not diagnosed. So I find the niching keeps me so much more structured, and the routine and the simplicity of it, it actually keeps me focused and less distracted. So then I actually get less burnt out because I don't have like so many things going through my mind about all the different things that I have to do, which ends up leaving me feeling really burnt out because I'm so exhausted with the million things that I've got to get done.
Yeah.
So I think niching
well
helps.
And I will say, like, you shipped a lot of books in 30 minutes in that video. I mean, how long is it? So you have 30 orders a day. How long does it take to ship 30 books for you?
Some of the bundles take a little bit longer to like pack up and sticky tape around, but I'm pretty quick with the I don't know how long it takes. Maybe it's on average like a minute per
A minute an item, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's pretty fast.
But that's with the bundles and stuff in there, multi orders and stuff involved in it. If I was just doing single books, it wouldn't be a minute. It would be less.
Yeah, like, you know, sometimes I'll sell like a big giant audio receiver, you know, and I'll have to like make a custom box or a TV. Like literally, I think that's a
good way to get burned out though, is just have like all these different shaped and sized items that are and you have to always search for all this random stuff.
Spend so much money on boxes, yeah.
I do a lot of cards, super simple, you know?
Yeah.
Have Dawn ship it. Easy for me. I don't ever get burnt out on shipping because I don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you don't get burnt out when you're not having to think about things. So for me, my packing system is so routine that it's just grab, do it, go. Like, it's actually almost therapeutic for me to pack because it's all just the same and easy and I don't have
But you're listening to the podcast, so that can't be helpful.
Yeah,
that helps. Well, no, like Mel, it's therapeutic for others too because 17,000 people watched you do it. Like, just pack orders for 30 minutes. Like, what's their attention on a video like that? Like, how long are they watching something like that? Have you looked yet? Is it like 50%, 60%?
Do you want me to look?
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting because, like I said, me and Carrie want to do less work and make more money. So,
yeah, see, that is the key. Less quality, more profit.
Like, I'll just, I think,
kind of like Walmart. If we could be more like Walmart, amen.
Yeah. I think Kevin's trying to tap into it with his videos. Like, I don't know if you've watched him lately, Carrie, but he really, like, whispers into his camera. He's like, I like to buy these. I don't know why he does the, like, slurpy thing. Yeah. But he does it. It's just weird.
Kevin's going through
stuff.
Look
at that dog.
Kevin's videos, you can see. Like, he's going through some stuff. Yeah, usually. He can't hide it.
Yeah, like his thumbnail today was something like cuties or something. It was weird. Cutesies? don't get cutesy or something.
It's always something.
It's like not even a word.
It's always like something from like an A&W root beer commercial from the 1950s. Like some
Time
slogan.
To be cutesies. Did you find it, Mel?
Yeah,
it's a barrel of fun.
So the retention is not great on it. The average view duration was 8 minutes 37 for a 34 minute video.
Right.
So 25.2%. So it's definitely down. It's definitely low.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, people can only watch it for long.
I mean, it's one of those videos where, you know, I get a lot of questions about how I'm packing and stuff. And sometimes it's easier just to make a video and not talk so that they watch and can just see your process.
I think that's a great way to do that, too, because a lot of people will do a standalone, this is how I box something, you know, and go through the steps. It's kind of a good idea just to show the time it takes for you to ship one day, do it live, and just kind of discuss it, and they can just see what you're doing on a normal day where you're not setting anything up special.
Yeah, you just put it in real time, and they can actually see what it's like and how you actually do it. And that, like, I did have somebody the other day who said to me, you know, oh, thanks for that video. You know, I took notes the whole time. I was like,
really?
What did you take notes? Like, I always wonder, why do people want to watch this? Is it like a background noise, like they're working with somebody else? Is it? But she was like, no, you know, I took notes. You know, I even working out ways that you do things that I can streamline my own system to make mine faster like yours and so systematic. So I think there's a mixture of people watching that. There's some people who are literally watching it just to have on in the background with some noise, and then there's other people who are analyzing every step that I take, and they'll pick things up if I'm doing something where they think there's a suggestion, like I can make something faster or better, they'll tell me. So it's definitely, I think when you film yourself doing a process, it's the best way to learn how you can improve that process and speed it up, because realistically, like, the more we can speed up our basic processes, like, the more time to do fun stuff.
But it's also, like, impressive. I'm watching right now. Like, you just packed, I think, a bundle of, like, 20 books in, like, 10 seconds. Because they, like, had a pre-wrap on them.
Yes.
You just threw them in a giant envelope, and you just shipped 30 books in, like, 10 seconds. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was totally insane. So I think there's that too. But what I would recommend for your attention, maybe every 7 minutes, just have Carrie's face and a loud noise, just so like to break up, like, like he's making his dolphin noise or something. Just something that gets people back in the action. But it looks like you're putting all your books in just like envelopes and mailers. Like, I always put mine in, like, you know, book box things that I fold over. Am I wasting money doing that? I probably am.
I just use cost me like a buck a piece. Yeah, these are the padded mailers, so they've got the bubbles inside them, and they're water resistant. So I never have any problems. Like, I've got 100% feedback. Everybody's in the comments is always like, shipped well, packed well.
I gotta do that. That'd make my life a lot easier. The way you're shipping these is so simple.
A lot of times, I feel like a lot of people do that. They make it more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
With cards,
I
with sports cards,
would
that happens
fuss at
a lot.
Me because, like, a paperback, for example,
but it's
might
you.
Bend.
But it's
it
you. Like,
the
they expect it to be bad from you.
Yeah, they're like looking for a reason to complain.
I feel like with you, true. Like people are literally like nitpicking your stuff way more than a normal seller, honestly.
But I do deserve it. I'm kind of a terrible person, has been, you know, presented.
It's a karma. It's a karma thing, I think. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll get a comment. I would never ship my books like that. Like that's terrible or something.
There's people hate watching it. Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, I've got so many thousands of feedback, and there's not one feedback that says my book arrived damaged or badly packed or anything.
Even hypothetically, say you got one out of 1,000. Would that necessitate you changing the whole process?
No,
maybe you could
not.
Think about why that happened. If that happened one out of 1,000, it's probably something that would have been out of your control anyway. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. I mean,
I would just send a kangaroo to that guy's house. To take
yeah, just
out.
A little train a kangaroo, get him a little satchel.
You should have
satchel,
like a little
or
attack
use the pouch.
Kangaroo. Oh, that'd be cool. So, okay, so yard sales. I want to talk yard sales. Do you guys have
boot
them?
Sales
do
out
you,
there? Or
do
something?
You have car boot sales? Do you have yard sales, garage sales? Like, what do you have?
We call them garage sales.
Okay.
So,
and they're in garages.
Yes.
Or in the front. So they're very similar. Like you came with us.
Yeah,
it's very similar. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you just have a lot more of them. They're not really they're hard to find here now. Most people are just selling their stuff on Facebook Marketplace and they don't bother to do the garage sale. So I just find like there's either, for me, there's not enough in like one vicinity that makes it almost worth going out to do it. Like to do the drive for just one garage sale and then come back.
Tough.
Like,
unless you know it's going to be good or you see the ad and it looks amazing.
I feel like
books.
Too, maybe I could be incorrect on this, but I feel like in Australia, the eBay culture is fairly strong. Like, I don't know if culturally a lot of people flip or just sell their own stuff on eBay.
Yeah. I think it's becoming more and more. But also, I think for me, like, who's niche down on books, to go all the way to a garage sale, like, and then them not have any books, I'm kind of out. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no real looking around and buying a whole lot of different stuff. Like, you guys can go there and find, like, a multitude of things to buy. Whereas
adult diapers, all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm kind of only looking for those.
That's like the video game resellers. Yeah, they go and they just say any video games. They don't even get out of their car. No. Okay, bye.
They just yell it. They're not either going like 40 and a 25, just yelling video games and hoping.
So do you have like a swap meet or a flea market near you that you can go to? Or not really?
Occasionally, but not like a regular one.
You just have the book fair. And the book fair, who brings the books to the book fair? Just anyone?
Yeah, so where I live, we have this book fair, like a couple of times a year, and it's run by like a charity that we call Lifeline, and books can be donated to them all year round, and then they have like two massive book fairs every single year. Okay. And then,
so you're stealing from the charity because you're not giving them full value. Understood. Yeah. Good to know.
That's how some people do it.
Like a lot of the towns have book fairs, but as well, so it's not just where I live. So like, Tom and I travel around a lot to different book fairs, and we'll go to Sydney and surrounds and places like that, traveling around to as many book fairs as we possibly can, really, because you get the best selection of books at the book fair.
And what's the pricing like at a book fair? Cheaper than a garage sale? Same? Cheaper than a thrift store? Like, where is it at?
It depends on the book fair. Some of them will have it, and it's just priced like, okay, $2 a paperback, $3 a hardback.
That's like a thrift store a lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, and then like this big book fair that we did over the weekend, they're all priced individually. They've got you open it up, and they're all individually priced inside. So they range really anywhere between,
are they
generally at $3 and $8, but then
were they
still
good
have
at pricing them? Like they know what's good, or they're just like, oh, it's a thick book, so it should be more.
No, they're pretty good, and they actually have an eBay store themselves, and they have a lot of volunteers who specialize in the people who are pricing them. Like, they're very knowledgeable on those books. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely books that are priced much higher. They'll have books priced at $40, $50.
Wow.
So they have high price. If they know that a book is worth a lot of money, they'll price it up.
Does that scare you away, or you'll still potentially buy it?
Oh, no, I'm happy to pay up for a book if there's enough profit margin and I know it's going to sell through fast enough. I don't want to pay up for a book that's going to sit in my store for a year. But if I will happily pay up for a book that's going to sell, like, within a couple of months.
Yeah. I have something to say on that, but first I want to ask this. Do they have, like, a half price day on the last day of the book fair? Do they do anything like that?
They do like a bag sale. Like at a lot of them, they'll do like a bag sale in the last couple of hours.
Okay. Yeah. And that's where you can make the big money. Do you go to that? Do you, like, make sure you're there for that part?
Some of them, it depends, like, if we're traveling. Like, normally the most important thing is to get there on the first day of a book fair because that's where the best books are. Mm. By the time you get to the third day, everything's very heavily picked over.
It's not very good stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's
bag
sale because...
beat up Isaac Asimov or something like that.
That's right.
Great books.
And you've had 3 days of everybody picking through it, like... Yeah. You know, you're getting that lower end stuff for the bag sale, but you get there first thing on the first day of a book fair and you'll get the best quality books, even if you have to pay up a bit more for them.
Yeah, I went to an estate sale, and I don't like to go to estate sales. I feel like I probably should go more, but I think I told you, maybe I told you this, Carrie, maybe not, but I went to an estate sale. They had a Scotty Cameron putter, which is like, it's a golf putter, and they're like the most sought after golf putters you can find. And my mom saw it. She's like, that's ridiculous, because it had a $200 price tag. I'm like, oh, it's worth more than $200, Mom. Yeah. And she's like, you can't be serious. I'm like, yeah, I am. But it was half price day, meaning $100. And then I talked him down like $20 more. So I paid $80, and it's going to sell for like $280. But so sometimes you pay up, you're going to make the money. You know, you just have to not be scared away by the high price tags.
Yeah.
Learning, Carrie. Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. I need to push myself on that. I'm the kind of person, like, and I do a lot of flipping in the sports card space, which is similar but adjacent to what we do. But I see guys in my space and gals that flip cards. They'll spend $1,000 and literally flip the card for $1,050.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that logic at all. Like, I could see spending $1,000, but I'm getting a ton of stuff for it, just based on my background as a picker. So. You know, I should be spending more, though. I'm notoriously cheap and skittish when it comes to big purchases, for sure.
Well, Tom, the other week, he bought a lawnmower for like $11,000, and then he flipped it a week later for $16,000.
Wow.
So,
wow. Tom's a pro.
Yeah.
That's pretty
like he's
cool.
He's not afraid to spend up on something if he knows there's a profit in it. So, yeah.
That's wild.
Cool.
That's
so
impressive.
Someone put a comment, Mel, that I don't really understand. Maybe it'll make sense to you, or maybe it's just nonsense. Our friend over at paulsmerch.com.
Oh, yes. I love that place.
He said, free my boy Osborne to thrift. Is that some inside joke with you, or is that just a random Paul's Merch being Paul's Merch?
I'm pretty sure Osborne to thrift is free. He's been out of jail for months now.
Yes. Okay. So it doesn't mean anything to you. It's just a random comment from the world's best eBay store.
I've heard the name Osborne for thrift.
His stuff's great. He just stopped producing content, really. I mean, at least on YouTube and Instagram, really, too.
Some of these questions, I have to read them, but I don't know. Captain Morgan Deal Crazy said, has Mel ever used the line, that's not a knife, this is a knife?
No.
No. Okay. Joy Campbell is asking the hard questions. You went back to Australia all fired up after your visit to the U.S., we see that you didn't follow through on anything. Why?
What do you mean I didn't follow through?
They didn't say that, did they?
No.
Mel did a lot of stuff. What are you talking about?
She said you went... No, I'm just about to say. She said you went back to Australia all fired up after your visit to the U.S. How do you feel you are doing on keeping that same energy up every day? Was the actual question, without me making it mean.
So I did come back all fired up, and like I have gone really hard at my eBay store, and I haven't done as much content as I wanted. Like I haven't fired up the YouTube as much as I wanted to after I came back from America, but I really feel like I had to get the eBay because that's been my primarily my income.
Where you're making your money.
I really feel like I had to get eBay to a certain point that I can justify. You know, like that's the thing is, YouTube pays monthly, and it's a bit of a roller coaster for me. So eBay pays weekly, and I need that weekly money. So I'm like focused to get my eBay income to a certain kind of point, and then I can start doing more of the YouTube content that I actually really want to do. Because, like, I love the YouTube way more than I love doing the eBay. But I really feel like I had to get so I was more fired up, I guess, with eBay. And I feel like I've been really good with that. But now that eBay is running so smoothly and systematic for me, and I'm through all my death piles and stuff, it means now I can start firing back up on YouTube. And now that I've moved house, like, I don't have any more interruptions. Like, I should just be able to, another week or something, I should just be smooth running and then get back into a routine of making that regular content.
So we should expect 7 to 10 long form pieces of content a week from now.
I'm ready.
I have to beat Philly Flipper. Like, I've been chasing his tail for so long.
He's got two channels. And he's just I don't even know what I don't watch it because I've got better things to do, but he's doing a lot of videos.
Let me ask you this, Mel.
Let me ask you this.
Great. How many listings? Well, first of all, do you do all your own listing?
Yes, everything.
And how many per day do you try to do? Is it like the tech and sports method, like 30 a day or whatever?
I'm not great at doing the set amount every single day, especially recently because I had so much death pile. I really just had to get it listed. So there's some days where I would list, 150 items in one day.
That's like me. And then will you skip a week?
Yes.
Me too. I honestly don't think it makes a difference. A lot of people say, it's got to be every day. But, I think your sales can slow or whatever. But I sell most of the people I talk to.
But why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you just do? Because I think Tech can and Chris.
I'm incapable.
Like, why don't you just do the? You could also even schedule them for free now.
Yes.
To go out in three days or eight days.
If I put the listing up, I'm hitting publish. I'm sorry. I want people to be able to see it right away.
You're so excited.
I did the freaking work. So today I did 50 listings, but I didn't do any through the 3 days before that. I'm like super inconsistent, but it doesn't really seem to. I mean, if I miss 2 weeks, my sales will slow. A week and a half, my sales will slow. But like,
You'd make more mistakes if you were more consistent. Because every video title of yours, something catastrophic has happened.
My title for tomorrow's video is "This Made Me Sick," and the whole video I'm just like burping and stuff because I ate too much lunch. It's literally just about how I ate too much lunch and it made me sick.
You've hit the magical place where you don't have to say anything important. You don't have to teach anybody anything. You've really made it to the promised land.
Yeah, they're going to think like some message or something or someone. They're going to think I got Kevin with the bag of carrots, right? Someone sent me a rotten bag of carrots. No, I just ate. Here's what I did. I ate both Domino's and Zaxby's chicken and fries for lunch. And it made me sick.
Were you O-matting it up? Was that your O-mat meal? I had Domino's.
I'm like, you know what? I need more food. And so I went to fast food after my fast food.
Here's the thing, though. O-mat is one meal a day. You technically kind of cheated. You did two meals and tried to make them one.
I just have all three in my one meal time slot.
I think, Dave, when you list consistently every day, you do get more sales.
Yeah.
But
I'm incapable.
I find it hard. Yeah,
it's really hard.
Like the last week while I was not. If I had listing scheduled, then I would have maintained my sales are down today because I haven't listed for quite a few days.
Listen,
but like when I come back from America for October, November, December, like I over doubled my 90-day total because I was listing so much harder and listing so much more consistently. Huh. Yeah.
Even when I try the schedule thing, because a lot of people like having like the digital death pile or whatever that they can just hit publish on, even if I'm like good for like 2 days, by day three I'm like, I still have 40 that aren't listed. List. And I just list them all. I can't leave them unlisted. It drives me insane. I have to list them because what if the guy who was gonna buy it only wanted it yesterday, and he went and bought it from someone else?
What if he wanted it 3 weeks from now, and then you sold it before he could get it?
Sucks for him. He can buy Mel's. Mine's gone. He can buy Mel's for more money.
Well, then why don't you think that way about it if he needs it today, then?
Because
it would be
money
better.
Too.
It would serve you better posting it.
I want the money fast.
But you want the money consistently, dude.
I don't know. Yeah. I hate money.
Is your graph like a roller? Like, is your graph like a real roller coaster?
Is there
like
a graph on eBay?
Like your sales graph?
Wait, is there analytics on eBay? Can we track how we're doing?
Dude, I honestly...
All like, I know is it always says below average, and I'm about to be, what's it called? Expelled from the website.
People will laugh. Like, there's so many people that, like, watch their business with, like, a fine-tooth comb, and they, like, measure it. They measure the click-through, measure the numbers. I don't look at any of that ever. Like, literally
always,
have never dug into anything.
It's always
I
the
just
people
keep working.
Who are selling the least.
I make money doing it.
When it isn't.
Yeah, well, they're looking at the Krylov and stuff, and but like for me, it's just like if I don't feel like I'm making enough money, I just work harder.
Here's the key: don't worry about Krylov and stop trying to sell like I don't know, like what is it, Bengals CDs or whatever? Whatever, like 1988 CDs. They're not selling very well right now. No, it's old media.
No CDs are selling right now, sadly.
I think that, like, doing more work, like, that's what I did through Q4. I just did more work, and I increased my sales by, like, so much money. So
You didn't have to look at a bunch of graphs to figure that out, did you? You just said, oh, I'm doing more and I'm making more. This is cool.
I'm actually doing more work. I'm listing more items and I'm making more money. But
that's the worst. That's the best and the worst part about being full-time, though, is when you work harder, when you treat it more like an actual job, the better you actually do. But I was talking to Don yesterday night, and it was during time we were both supposed to be working. We were kind of. And I just went over to Don. I'm like, I'm bored. Actually doing the work is boring and I don't want to do it, but I still did it kind of. But then she reminded me, yeah, you could take breaks. I'm like, oh yeah, I was like on TikTok for 40 minutes straight and forgot. But you know.
No, Mel, my chart is garbage. Let me show you. I found my chart. I found it.
I wonder what
it's completely nonsensical. Not, it means nothing to me, but maybe it means something to you. You're in all these expensive groups. You can tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
What is this?
The details
mean?
For free. Oh, wow.
It's up a lot here, and then it's up a lot. Maybe that's when I go on my listing stints, when I list, like, 100 items.
Unless you sold something really crazy expensive on that day.
How would I know? December? Yeah, it might have been one of my $1,500 comic books. Yeah, it probably was an expensive comic.
That's probably what that was.
That's probably why. But then what happened down there? You had a no sales day on one of those days.
This day, yeah. Sometimes I have those. Sometimes I have no sales days.
Wow, that's so embarrassing.
But look, this is what I told you guys, my sales are way down in February. Look at this. There's, like, nothing happening for me right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But I don't know. Whatever. It's just money. Just sell it on Whatnot. It always sells on Whatnot, Mel. Even if it's for a quarter of what it's worth or a tenth of what it's worth, it sells.
As long as you're buying well, you can make it that way.
Yeah.
You've got so many platforms to sell on to make the amount of money that you need. You've got eBay, you've got Whatnot, you've got Poshmark, District, you've got Mercari, you've got your channel members here. You've got all these different things making you so much money. Whereas, like, I've kind of got eBay and I've got YouTube that makes me a little bit of money. But because I'm not very consistent on YouTube, like, it's never, like, a very consistent income.
I guarantee, though, if you got, like, super consistent with the YouTube, it would be neck and neck with your eBay sales. Because you've already proven that you'll get the viewers when you put the content out, so.
Yeah. I've said for a while now, I think if I focus more on YouTube, I'd probably make more money off YouTube. But I kind of feel like if I can get my eBay running to a certain point that I can just maintain and then bump the YouTube.
That's the key. Yeah. Every time I put more effort into TikTok or YouTube, something else, or even just TikTok, like, my YouTube will suffer. If I focus more on YouTube, TikTok, and I make money on both those, and then eBay suffers. If I focus more on eBay, the other two suffer. It's so hard.
It's a balance
to get everything
sure.
being consistent.
When Carrie was here, I focused on TikTok and I made like $800. Now I'm doing nothing on TikTok and I'm making nothing. It's that simple. It's that simple. You get the returns from what you're focused on. So
yeah, but you've got multiple reselling platforms that'll probably all add up to like the same income that I make on my eBay. Mm. Like you'll probably got the same. Going by all your
I make as much on Whatnot as I make on eBay every month. For the last 6 months, it's been that way. It's crazy. But like, there'll be video. Like, I'll do videos where I do my order pulls, and I'll have the same amount of sales, Poshmark and Mercari, revenue wise, as eBay, for the last couple of days. Like, a lot of times that's been happening lately, where it's like, oh, I sold 200 on Mercari, 100 on Posh, and 300 on eBay. It's like, oh,
yeah,
and then also 700 on Whatnot. You know, that's like, so you get it, you put it all together and it's like, oh, wow, it actually, like, I'll be sitting there, I'm like, man, eBay's dead, this sucks. But then I'll be like, but actually I did this and this and this since the last video too. So still going fine. It's just because I'm diversified, right? And I'm in all these other
platforms. It's almost like we have that reseller brain from when we started that eBay, because
eBay is the end all be all. Which
eBay
is
the barometer for, and it still is for you, Mel, the barometer of whether you're going to be able to pay your bills or be successful doing this, basically.
Yeah.
But do
you
not think...
You have to earn a lot of money on eBay to actually, by the time you pay all your expenses and stuff, you know, you're only really taking a 30-odd percent cut or maybe 40%, whatever. Like, you've got to earn a lot of sales to be actually making
Are you promoting on eBay? Okay.
Yeah.
And what percent do you promote at?
I chop and change it, and I do experiments on the store, and sometimes I do higher, and sometimes I do
Have you ever tried not doing it at all?
No. Nah.
Because I don't do it at all, ever. I mean, I don't know. Does it really make a difference? Do we know for sure? I mean, an obscure book, Mel, that no one else both. Has? What about a book that no one else has?
But I focus on selling books that are like bread and butter. Like I don't know where this light's coming
so
in.
So would you not even, it looks like a reflection from your computer screen, actually.
Yeah. No, I think it's one of the sunlights.
Would you not promote at all like a rare Bible that's not even listed by someone else? Or you just would by default because you're used to doing it?
Yeah, well, mine's just set so that everything I list goes onto like a flat rate promotion rate at the moment.
But like with a Bible where you've got the only one, you're literally just giving eBay free money. You know that, right?
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Pretty much. But I just don't want to have to go in. Like every single time I list otherwise, I manually have to go in and set it at a like individual. And if I change it back now, I've got like 7,000 listings that I'd need to revise.
You can't change it on the one Bible that you're listing for $600?
No.
You would mess up everything else?
I feel bad if I don't promote. Like somebody's going to lose their job at eBay if I don't promote, you know? Because they need the money.
They do need the money. I didn't think about that. I probably should start
promoting. Stop being so selfish.
Every time I start promoting, it works for like a minute or for 3 days, and then it stops working, and I'm back to my normal. Whoa, Mel's super zooming. Yes. What's happening over here?
I'm trying to get rid of that sunlight that's changed. But anyway.
Anyway, I'm sure, yeah. Well, okay, so Mel, last question I had was like, okay, so Amazon's not huge right now, but Amazon is like a mega book platform over here. You don't think it's worth investing time and effort into selling on Amazon over there, even for the future?
Not yet. I've spoken to a couple of sellers that are on there. You know, they have tens of thousands of listings and only get like one or two sales a day. So for me, it's not worth the time yet involved. If there's not a base enough, if there's not enough of a base of people buying, it's not worth my time.
Well,
my time is better somewhere else.
Do they do fulfillment by Amazon? Like they send their books to Amazon's warehouse and then where Amazon ships them? Your friends are doing that?
Oh, we can do that here, but it's expensive. It's expensive. And they, you know, if you've got a book that's got a slower sell-through rate, they'll end up sending it back because they won't store it for that long.
Okay.
So you're going to have those books that got really, really fast sell-through rates and that can be hard.
I used to do a lot of video games, and I did fulfillment by Amazon, and it did cost a lot in fees. It was like way more in fees, but I would sell the game for way more than if I did merchant fulfilled, so it ended up being more profitable, which I think is like Caleb's whole process with the Phoenix resale. Like, even though he's getting more fees because it's selling for $20 more than it's really worth, it ends up being worthwhile. But yeah, if no one's buying on Amazon at all, there's no point.
It's
kind of like Bonanza. Why bother, you know?
Have you ever... You bought 4 to 5 tons of books, you said.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, where are you going to... Tom and I did, but the two of us combined.
Where are they going to be stored? You have enough space for that?
Well, currently they'll be stored over at Tom's warehouse, but then mine will start coming into me in the next few days. I think he'll start delivering them to me, and I'm just going to have a couple of really big days of photography to start getting some of them on the shelf and off the floor.
Have you ever considered like putting out ads that like you'll buy books from other people on Facebook? And so like, have you ever thought of just having your own book fair, the Back from Burnout book fair, where you like literally bring all the inventory and sell it and make maybe not as much profit, but you sell 1,000 books in a weekend?
Can you imagine the SKU system?
Can you imagine how good the video would be? I ran my own book fair and just talk about like how much you spent on it all. Like buy a big bulk thing, a 4-ton thing of books, and literally just go set up a book fair. And you know what your buy-in was, right? Let's say you paid $4,000 for your 4 tons of books. I don't know. Just go individually price them like that other company and just, or you know what, just do flat rate. Every book's $5. Just do that. Yeah. Who cares what other people make? You probably triple your money in a weekend.
I just like,
You're like, no, but so I'm the one buying all the books from the book fair.
Yeah, I'm buying all the books.
So no one would be there to buy them. Should...
that's something like, is there a certain part of you that really enjoys selling books in particular? Like, is it something that you enjoy like that? Or is it just a niche that you found?
I think it's just, I enjoy selling the books more than anything. I enjoy reselling as such, but I enjoy making videos more than I enjoy reselling.
All right, anything else you want to say? Subscribe to Back from Burnout.
Subscribe to Back from Burnout. Yes, definitely.
Are you on Instagram, YouTube, anything else? Twitter, X?
I'm on all the platforms as Back from Burnout, but I pretty much only really use YouTube and Instagram.
Okay. Okay.
I know, I try and do a little bit on Facebook, but no, I'm mainly Instagram and YouTube, but come follow me on YouTube.
If you're an Australian, you have a bunch of non-rat feces infested books that you'd like to sell at a very discounted rate. Mel,
yes, would be the one quarter per book is the max she wants.
Max she'll pay. Actually, she will not pay a penny more. She's tough on that.
You need to pay her to take them. That's
yes,
that's
yes, yes, exactly.
And also, all dead kangaroo pics should go to Commonwealth Picker on Instagram.
Yes, don't forget those guys. That's